Welcome to the Good Talk Podcast, where we remind you of the joy of life, the love of God, and the possibilities that lie ahead. Pete and Jordan here with episode 94.
95. Water Walkers.
90. Gosh, could I screwed up anything more? At least I got the name of the podcast right. I could remember our names. Got the episode. This is going to be a fun one.
Stay tuned. Episode 95, Water
Walkers.
We're
5 away from 100.
I know. I've actually been thinking about that a lot lately.
It
as far as like what
mind.
We do with that. I know. It hasn't?
No.
Oh,
but
good.
Be thinking about that.
You be thinking about it.
Needs to be what if we have a guest on?
No, like I feel like the 100th needs to be like classic.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking a big classic. Like we have George Bush on or something.
Okay, I'll let you do the scouting for that one. We're going on a cruise next week, y'all. I'm excited.
I'm glad that you say you're excited because I think that you are, but I also get a brunt of the nervousness.
I get a little nervous.
So most of our family has never been on a cruise. I've been on like one, but it was a work cruise. I was speaking, so it wasn't really the full cruise experience. So we're all excited, but don't know what to expect.
It's unknown stuff. I think like I love, we always usually go to 30A at the beach and I know what to expect. I know how to plan. I know what to pack. I know all of that. And we just booked this cruise like randomly.
And we booked a really cheap cruise.
We booked a
the
cheap
cheapest cruise.
Cruise
you could book.
It's not the cheapest.
There's
definitely worse ones I've seen.
Sure, you could get a canoe.
No, it's not like trashy, but it's just like, it's not the really fancy, like,
no.
Cool kind.
It's still going to be fun.
It's going to be great. I just don't like the unknown part of like, I probably am going to be the one where they're like, you can't bring that on the boat. I'm like, oh, cool. Or like, why didn't I bring XYZ? Or I don't know. I just feel like there's so many. I'm researching and stuff.
You know
I know
what
it's
I'm,
not that big
You know
deal,
what I'm most excited about on this cruise?
Not cooking.
Not cooking
Me
for
too.
The boys. Because cooking for the boys is not like fun cooking. Because they all want something different. They all eat at different times. When we go on vacation to the beach, we're usually trying to save some money by not eating out a ton. So we cook a lot of our meals there in the house.
Yeah.
And it ends up being quite a bit of work.
Yeah.
I am super excited.
Yeah.
The price alone for this cruise was worth being able to go on vacation with kids and not cook.
Yeah, because part of, they say when you go on vacation with kids, it's just parenting in a different location.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That kind of sometimes feels like that. And I love the beach. We love the beach.
I do.
And, but you're
and
right.
We'll be back to the
with
beach.
With the boys, and you got three of them all kind of on different, like they sleep in, some don't, some go to the gym, some come to the beach at like 2, and we've been there for 8 hours already. And so it is kind of hard to manage meals, but I'm excited. I am. I hope I don't get seasick. I've really never gotten super seasick before.
I got a little nauseous on that when I went.
Oh, great.
A little, not real bad, mainly in my room.
I guess like 3 weeks ago, there was a big cruise ship that was like caught in hurricane winds. And it was literally, people were looking out their windows and they were underwater. I'm just like, I need to just not read these.
Yeah,
things.
That's one in a million. You're going to be fine.
I know. I really am excited. I'm pumped.
I just remembered I've been on 2 cruises and the first one broke down.
Okay, let's
stop. I was in high school. It was our senior trip, and we were supposed to go to the Bahamas just like we are on this one, and we never made it. The ship broke down night one.
In the middle of the ocean?
Yep. It didn't lose all its engines, but we didn't have the capacity to make it all the way to the Bahamas. What was great was, as a high school kid, the 3-day cruise became a 4-day cruise because it took that long to get back, and we were reimbursed.
Oh, that's great. Congrats. Now I have a new fear.
If I could find a way for us to get reimbursed on this cruise.
Oh my gosh, stop. Did you know that on every cruise ship there's a morgue? Because
I've heard that.
I've researched it and it's very true. But I guess because a lot of elderly people go on cruises, there are almost often like almost one death per
there's cruise. There's thousands of people on those boats.
Yeah. So anyways.
Oh my
you
gosh.
You guys are probably going to message me like, Jordan, you're freaking out. You need to relax.
We didn't even say the title of this podcast.
Yeah, Water Walkers.
Water Walkers.
We did.
It just now hit me that this intro matches perfectly with the story I want to talk about.
Perfect. Let's talk about
it. That was not planned.
No, was it? That's just God telling you you're on the right track.
That was a cool little thing. Yeah, so I wanted to talk today. It is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. It's one that, since I was a kid, has fascinated me. I know we have people from all kinds of different backgrounds that listen to this podcast. So even if you're not like a Bible person, not a Christian, whatever, there's still some unbelievably wisdom in this, mm-hmm. especially for those of you right now that find yourself in a situation where you need to take a step, but you're fearful of taking that step. Mm-hmm. And fear's holding you back. You're playing through all the different worst case scenarios. So if this is you and you're having trouble, it's the exact opposite of the last podcast.
Yeah.
If there's something you feel like you need to commit to, but fear's holding you back, I think this story is awesome. So just a quick synopsis. I won't actually read the whole passage, but this is Matthew chapter 14. Jesus has sent the disciples out on the boat. They're crossing over, I believe it's the Sea of Galilee, which is more like an ocean. And a terrible storm blows up. It had to be pretty bad because a lot of the disciples were actually fishermen. They had spent their life at sea. But we're told they're terrified. So this must have been a pretty scary situation. I think, again, we're just talking about this something for the cruise, but anytime you're free-floating out in the water and there's a storm, I cannot think of a more vulnerable position to find yourself. You can't drive off. You can't run away from it. You're just there.
Thanks, Pete.
In the churning sea.
Yeah.
So that's where they find themselves. And this is a cool story where Jesus appears on the water and he's walking, literally just walking to them. And so he has this encounter with the disciples who are terrified. He's basically like, chill out, it's okay. And then he invites one of the disciples, Peter, to get out of the boat and walk on the water to him. Mm-hmm. So you're already completely vulnerable and exposed being on a boat out in the middle of a storm. Now I want you to take one more step and actually get out of what little bit of safety you have in this boat and completely be exposed to the storm and walk to me on the water. If you know the story, he actually did it. Mm-hmm. He was walking on water, right? And we're told that he lost his focus, took his eyes off Jesus, fear overcame, and he sank. Jesus picks him up out of the water. It's a really cool story, and you can talk about it from so many different angles. But for me, there's four principles that no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you believe or don't believe, I think can really be applied to your situation. And the first thing was this that comes to me is that any dream or goal that's worth pursuing will initially involve some level of fear. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before, but fear and passion or fear and excitement, you like the phrase of often hold hands.
Yeah.
Right? And another, they're close cousins.
Yeah.
And often if you look at something that you're fearful of it because it actually brings up so much excitement in you about the possibilities that it's kind of tripping some of your wires a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so just understand that anything that's worth pursuing, any dream, any goal, any idea, any new initiative in your life that's worth pursuing, initially there's going to be some fear involved with this. And just because it's a good idea or a good dream does not mean that you are going to be spared adversity and discomfort.
Right.
There's going, in other words, when we talk about there's going to be some level of fear involved, there's going to be some level of discomfort. Your path towards pursuing this dream, this goal, this idea, whatever it is not going to be completely smooth sailing.
Right.
It's not. And where I try to help myself or coach myself through a scenario like that is help myself realize that discomfort is temporary. The growth I get in the midst of that is permanent.
That's good.
The discomfort's going to go away. It's like, think about it, it's like working out. Mm-hmm. It is uncomfortable. Yeah. If you're working out right, you're probably pushing your body. It's a little bit painful. You're like, I hate this. Mm-hmm. But you know, in a matter of 30 minutes, 45 minutes, hour at the most, that discomfort goes away. The growth you have is permanent.
Right. That's really good.
Right. And so that's where I really try to get focused when I'm going through something like that.
You can kind of, we've talked about this too, like adversity or obstacles or challenge can feel like it makes you feel like, did I make the wrong decision?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like you almost have to go into it expecting that and like looking for that with that kind of anticipation a little bit.
Yep. I think sometimes we convince ourselves if we have a really good dream, a really good idea, a really good goal, that must mean that it's going to be easy to achieve. Like the universe should not hand me problems and adversity because yeah. this is such a good thing that yeah. I'm pursuing.
Yeah, go
ahead. Never works that way.
Especially if you start on a high, right? Yeah. Like this is a stupid example, but like I've been working on trying to build my Instagram to be able to work with brands and monetize that. And I grew really fast, mm-hmm. really early, like out of nowhere, just grew because of one of the things I posted almost a year ago now. And then for 6 months, I stopped. It stopped.
Discomfort.
Felt like this is stupid. Imposter syndrome comes in. Everything comes in. And then...
What did the discomfort force you to do?
Get a little more creative.
Yep.
And in my sphere, it was to get a little more creative. Like, I was just kind of phoning it in. Still pushing forward. Like, I'm proud of that. Like, I still was putting a foot in front of the other, but it wasn't moving the needle. It was like, I was not challenging myself. Yep. And so, finally I did. And then it ignited again. But, I say that to say I had quick, easy. That first thing was like, bam, maybe you're like, you have an idea and you get a big investor. You're like, bam. And then getting more was super challenging. And then yep. you start to question it all. And so anyway, I just think it can be really hard.
Yep. But if you can position the discomfort as a teacher, there's something I need to learn here. And I'm not going to let go of this discomfort until I learn what it is I need to learn. That's what you did in that scenario. The discomfort ended up being temporary, as it always is. But the growth is permanent. You learn some things in there that you can continue to apply for the rest of your life if it works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if it hadn't restarted, the growth didn't continue, the growth of my Instagram, the growth in me would have been like, I learned from that.
Yeah.
Like there's still, you can have a complete and total fail and still have permanent growth.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, that's good. Second principle for me is the greatest purpose of your life cannot be discovered while you're hiding. So in this story, we're going to use the boat as the representative, the illustration of our hiding place. And the boat in the story is somewhat safe. It's secure. It's comfortable. On the other hand, the water is rough and the waves are high and the wind is strong and there's a storm out there. And if you get out of the boat, whatever your boat might happen to be, there's a good chance you might sink. But if you don't get out of the boat, you're guaranteed certainty that you're never going to walk on water. Mm. And so I just think if you got an idea, dream, a goal, whatever, I know I keep repeating that, but that's when we talk about walking on water, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting in that place in your life where you're doing something that once seemed impossible. Mm-hmm. Right. And yes, there's always risk involved when you're trying something new. And this is one of the things I love working about entrepreneurs, because they say that, 1% of people take the road less traveled. Entrepreneurs who are creating something out of nothing they don't even get to take the road less traveled.
They're forging it.
They're making a new road. Yeah. And I love that. That gets me so excited to work with people like that. But this idea that somehow this is all going to magically just land in your lap, mm-hmm. even while you're in your safe, secure spot, it's false. It's not. You're always going to have to get out of that comfort zone. So, I think that it's a challenge, but an important question I think everybody needs to ask is, what's your boat? What is the safe place or safe feeling that you're trying to hold on to so desperately that it's keeping you from taking the step that you need to take? Mm-hmm. For some people, the boat is finances. They're mm-hmm. like, I like this nest egg. It's safe.
Yeah.
It is secure. And if I were to take this risk, spend this money, like, what if it doesn't work mm-hmm. out and I don't have that safety and security? Mm-hmm. You got to identify what it is in your life. For a lot of people, the boat is the approval of others. Mm-hmm. And their fear is, if I step out of this boat, mm-hmm. if I take this risk, there's chance that I could be criticized. There's a chance that these people won't like me anymore. These chance these people will criticize me and say, who are you for even trying this? Mm-hmm. And so they just think, you know what? I want the approval of people more. I'm going to stay in the boat. I'm not going to take this step. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Everybody gets their own choice on whether or not they get out of the boat or not. All I'm saying is, yes, there's risk with getting out of the boat, and yes, you might sink. But if you stay in the boat, you're guaranteed you're never going to walk on water.
I would say a lot of the time, I'm not going to say all the time, but the people pointing fingers at you, criticizing you for taking that risk, are probably jealous that you did it.
Absolutely. They're in the boat. I promise you they're not on the water. Because if they're on the water, they are too busy.
Yeah, to point their fingers.
Yeah, they're too busy. They're too focused. They're too like living in limbo to criticize you. It's always the people in the boat.
Yeah. Yep. What is the Brené Brown quote that says, I don't want to take... It's something about being in the ring, the boxing ring.
Yeah, it's something about, like, if you're not in the ring, I don't...
Yeah, it's essentially as far as, like, who you listen to in your life, who you allow to speak into that. And she said, her quote is something like, if you're just sitting on the outside of the boxing ring and not in the boxing ring yourself, I don't care to hear from you, kind of thing. I just butchered that. I'm going to research that and I'm going to try to.
Hey, there's a reason Brené Brown is Brené Brown.
I know. I'm just Jordan Wilson here echoing her really poorly.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Third principle that I kind of pull out of this story is that fear will never go away. Mm-hmm. I remember growing up, there was a very popular bumper sticker that went on cars that said, no God, and it was K-N-O-W, no God, and then it said no, N-O, no fear. Mm. So no God, no fear. That's, I think that was, the cat's about to knock her camera over.
Titan. Stop. Sorry, guys.
He actually just straightened it, because I looked up a second ago, and you were too far that way. You needed to move in more.
Okay, anyways, most of our listeners are on podcasts or listening.
So we have a new producer of this podcast.
Yeah, he's a cat.
It's a cat.
Anyway, no fear, no God.
Yeah, and it's just completely false. This idea that somehow conquer the initial fear when you're starting something, that after that it just disappears. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It goes back to that quote I talked about. I don't know, it might have been a couple months ago, about, you know, courage is not the absence of fear. Or how did I phrase it? Courage is not peeing your pants. Courage is peeing your pants, but doing it with wet pants.
Courage is just doing it with wet pants. Yeah.
Doing it with wet
pants. We're butchering all of our quotes.
I know. Today. That was my own quote. And I think I just totally.
Yeah. Doing it with wet pants. Yeah. 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 Just
fear and growth is a package deal. That's the main point.
Yeah.
It's a pack. It goes together. If you're growing, there's some level of fear that probably exists in your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I think sometimes we try to create scenarios where there's a path forward while avoiding all fear. Mm-hmm. In other words, you want to know the end before you even start. But you're at the beginning of something, you're not going to know what the end looks like.
Yeah.
And if you wait for that, you're never going to get started. Mm-hmm. It's never going to happen. And people ask me all the time, like, when will I know when I'm ready to take this step? Or when will I know that I'm ready to get out of the boat? And my answer to that is, you're never going to know. You're never going to be ready. Mm-hmm. I've always felt like life kind of honors people who aren't ready, but do it anyway. Mm-hmm. You're never going to get ready. And if you wait till you have enough resources or enough education or enough experience, that opportunity will have already passed you by.
Yeah. I've heard someone equating that exact scenario to having kids. Like, you're never ready, but when you have it, the baby's here. You figure it out. You're going to figure it out. And you'll make it to tomorrow and you'll make it to the next day. And by the end of the year, you look back and you're like, look at all that stuff I learned. And my little human's here still. Like, I think that's very similar. It's just once you commit, you figure it out. Like, or you don't. But, you know, it's like, you're not going to figure it out until you start it.
Exactly. So it goes all the way back to inside the boat. You're not going to figure this out. So I just believe if you're going to make an impact, big or small, in your life, you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And almost all growth begins at the end of your comfort zone.
Yep.
It's just the way that it works.
Yep, that's good.
So that's it. Fourth thing. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. There are worse things than failure.
Yeah.
So what's interesting about the story, and I think this is why I've always been drawn to the story, is for most of my life, this story was told from the standpoint of Peter was a failure. Peter got out of the boat, but he took his eyes off Jesus and he sank. Mm-hmm. So the moral of the story was, don't take your eyes off Jesus, right? Good point. Got it. But I don't think that's the biggest point of the story. Did Peter fail? Yes. But I think there were 11 other bigger failures in the story. Mm-hmm. And it was the other disciples who didn't even get out and try.
Mm-hmm. And can I raise you?
Yes.
I think the biggest point in that, to just reiterate the fact that failure is not final, is that Jesus picked him up out of the water.
Yes.
So it's like, he wasn't done.
No.
You know, just because he fell, he wasn't done. So I totally agree. I think obviously there are 11 people that didn't try, but also just the image and what it communicates that Jesus picked him back up.
That's right. Failure's not final.
Yeah.
It's not. And, you know, there are a lot worse things than failure. And again, the other 11 disciples failed, and their failure went unnoticed. It was uncriticized because it was private. Mm-hmm. You know, only Peter knew that kind of bit of shame that comes along with public failure that day. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Peter's also the only one who knew what it felt like to walk on mm-hmm. water. Mm-hmm. For a few moments, he was doing something that none of them had ever done or would ever do.
Right.
And so it's kind of that high risk, high reward kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I do think that you've got to find a way to reshape failure. How do you perceive failure? And if you do perceive failure as final, you're going to have a difficult time attempting things in life that involve any level of risk or fear.
Yep.
You just will. And at some point, again, you have to decide what's more important to you. Putting it all out there with the chance to make a difference with one of your ideas, goals, dreams. Put yourself out there in such a way of taking a risk where you personally grow in a way that you couldn't if you just stayed in the boat. Is that what's most important to you, or is what is most important to you for people to look at you and think of you as a success mm-hmm. or to think of you as a great person? You know, I think some of us are so concerned with other people's opinions, it keeps us in the boat. Mm-hmm. We're so afraid of being criticized. We're so afraid of letting somebody down. Mm-hmm. So afraid of all these external pressures. And I just believe that day for Peter, he obviously wasn't concerned about the other 11.
Yeah, it's interesting. I forget exactly how it was said, but essentially it was talking about, this article was talking about, like, no one's actually paying attention to you anyways. They're so right. self-absorbed thinking about themselves, and they're certainly not giving you that same amount of thought. Like, if you're always just so worried about other people, usually they're not actually worried about you at all. It's all of our little, like, narcissism in our heads that thinks that somehow we are maintaining everybody else's happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does come, and this particular point, I think, coming down to what is your greatest incentive? And if it's, I don't want to look like an idiot, I don't want to be perceived as a failure, I want to make everyone happy, I want everyone to like me. If that is your greatest incentive, you are not going to get out of the boat. Mm-hmm. Not going to do it. But if your greatest incentive is becoming the best version of yourself you could possibly become, making your life count for something great, wanting to do something that's significant, then that will be enough to overcome your fear of how other people might perceive you should you take the risk and get out of the boat.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good. I sent you this video on Instagram. I always send Pete things on Instagram, and I never get responses.
Listen, I've told her I will watch one out of every 5 or 6 videos you send me.
That's so rude, because I actually, in my brain, filter through the ones that I really want to send you. So these are like, these are gold. Anyway.
It's only so much time in the day.
It was just a guy on camera, and he was staring at the camera, and he was like, imagine, you know, in 50 years, 30 years, you know, however many years, and you're on your deathbed, and they've just told you you've got, you know, a couple days to live, and you know, I'm never going to go feel the warmth of the sun again. I'm never going to feel the sand between my toes. I'm never going to attend another Thanksgiving lunch. You know, all this seems super heavy. But he said, and then you were given the opportunity to go back to a day and make one decision differently. What would that decision be? And his point was, usually it's something you wish you did.
Yeah.
And not things that, you know, you cared so much about what other people were going to perceive of you. Because at that point, you don't care. Like, you really care about what was that one thing. Maybe it's several things over the course of your life, but his point was, now you're here in this day, what is that decision?
That's
like
good.
What step can you make forward? So it's like kind of a reversal of thinking, but I just thought that was really powerful to think, like, you still have the power and the opportunity. Mm-hmm. One day you won't. And that's always so cliche, like, one day you'll get on your deathbed, but it's freaking true. Yeah. There's sometimes cliches are said so much because they're true. And so it's like, we have to embody that and really, you know, live through that and hopefully make those decisions. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, because that's going to happen, but it's just more of what is the different choice you would make of opportunity.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you for sending me that video.
Yeah, you're so welcome. You would have loved it.
Anyway. No, I watched half of that one.
The best part was at the end.
I knew where he was going.
Oh my gosh.
I knew where he was going. I was like, I got this.
Would you like for people to get up in the middle of our podcast or in your messages and when you speak and be like, I know where he's going with this. I'm out.
I promise you that happens all the time. You don't have to like email us or tell us that you do it, but it happens to me. I listen to podcasts. I'm like, I got it. I know where they're going.
I know. That's true. Thank you guys for listening all the way through, if you're still listening. Anyways, I thought that was really good. Thank you. That's good.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you guys didn't listen last week about when to quit, it's kind of the opposite of this. It's mm-hmm. really important, too, because you kind of need to be able to balance both of those right. things. So that was episode 94. If you want to check that out, we are off next week because we're going on our cruise, but we will be back after that. We hope you guys are having an awesome summer and having good vacations. We're going to go and try and relax and hopefully stay on board and not be stuck out at sea, as you have reminded me has yes. happened to you.
That is one boat we do not want to get out of.
Oh my gosh. That was too much.
The puns keep coming. Gosh,
let's end it before it gets worse. All right, guys, thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll be back in a couple weeks. And that was another
good talk.